What happened to the possibility of having a woman president elected in 2020? Well, a lot of big questions surrounding that very subject. And on the KSRO live line this morning is Marianne Schnall. She is the author of What Will It Take to Make a Woman President? Marianne, boy, could you have any better timing than this? Marianne, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I was just saying, what about the timing of your book? What Will It Take to Make a Woman President in 2020? Well done.
Well, I don't know if you all realize that actually the book came out many years ago. It actually came out, believe it or not, in November 2013, before Hillary actually made her second run. It's just that the book continues to be so timely, of course.
It's top of mind now again.
And exactly, because, yeah, so many of the same factors exist.
Is there anything that we've learned since 2013 when you published this book?
Well, I think, you know, what I see is, you know, we certainly have made strides and progress in many areas. Of course, we had, you know, Hillary Clinton, who broke many glass ceilings and, you know, was the first female nominee of a major political party to get the presidential nomination. She won the popular vote by, you know, 3 million votes. And then, of course, we had the most diverse primary field we've ever seen with so many different qualified female candidates. But at the same time, with seeing all of those many forms of progress, I think what we did see emerge in the primary season are so many of the same obstacles that have held women back from becoming president play out right before our eyes that I think we have to look starkly at and learn from.
Like what?
Well, and many of these, you know, were sort of identified in the book. I think there has been the overall question of, you know, electability. You know, are we ready to elect a female president? I think we have seen that play out in subliminal ways, as well as, you know, everybody talking about it. And I think the more that we talk about it, sort of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, especially because I think right now, you know, people feel like it's, you know, more important than ever that we do get a Democrat into that position. And, you know, whether that's a safe choice to go with a female candidate. There's also the notion of this likability factor that we kept hearing again and again.
Oh, I hate the likability factor part.
And, you know, it's we heard that all the time, and it's always been this kind of conundrum for female candidates because, you know, what does that even mean to be likable? And, it, you know, should women be, you know, if they're too soft, you know, they get criticized for that or they're not going to be strong enough. And if they are forceful, if they, you know, kind of, you know, act in a sort of, you know, sort of like, you know, dominant way or speak forcefully, sometimes that's seen as like a negative. So it's really this, you know, horrible, you know, double bind for women. I think we also saw about how when you have unequal or sometimes even sexist media coverage, how that plays into just, you know, the public consciousness and that affects how we vote.
Sure.
And then I had written a piece for CNN in the very beginning about the gender fundraising gap, which is just a reality. Women candidates have a lot harder time raising money, and some of the female candidates did drop out because of those hurdles. So, you know, I think we just have to realize that the combination of those factors, and not to say that they were the only factors, but I think everybody sort of uniformly agrees that they did, you know, play a part. We had some of the most qualified, I mean, and on the plus side, being able, whereas last time it became very identified with Hillary Clinton, we had so many different types of female leaders.
This is true.
Leaders.
Yeah.
And I think the more that we can see different types of leadership styles, you know, women of different races and backgrounds and, you know, values and policies, you know, that was very, you know, helpful in terms of us actually visualizing a woman being president and having more choices.
And I wonder, Marianne, too, if the woman factor played a role in all of this when it came time to sort of measure the candidates up against their ability to defeat Donald Trump this year.
Well, and I think that was huge, you know, and I think, you know, part of, I always reflect back when I had interviewed, you know, the wonderful Dr. Maya Angelou for my book.
That's a fortunate turn of events.
Yeah, she had said to me, she was talking about how we were talking about when Barack Obama was elected president and how, you know, people had said, oh, you know, we're not ready, you know, were we going to ever be ready to elect, our first black president, and lo and behold, we did. So I think, you know, we have to stop saying, like, you know, are we ready? You know, I think we have to, like, make it so. You know, if we, you know, there, I think that the more that we talk about whether you know, if we give in to our fears, we're never going to make the bold, you know, sort of steps forward that we need to, because I think there's a real appetite to see, you know, well, more diversity in general, but a woman as president, it is certainly beyond time. So I think, you know, when they did some polling, they saw that it was actually many women who sometimes even more so than men were reluctant to believe we were ready, and probably we've internalized.
Oh, I hate that part too.
Yeah, well, who can blame us, right?
Yeah.
Because we've been such, you know, we've faced so much discrimination or sexism, and so it's harder almost for us to think that's not going to be a factor. But I really do think that, you know, now is the time to, you know, really believe in it, and it's the only way it's going to happen. The more we say that it's not possible, the more, you know, that kind of
it is a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're right. Okay, Marianne, what about the number two spot? How important is that in this go-round?
I mean, I think if I was the candidate, I think it would be stupid to do anything other than put a female VP. I know the group Supermajority has a whole campaign around that. And certainly because, and none of this is just like, you know, this isn't tokenism, not just any woman. There are just so many unbelievably qualified potential VP female candidates and even, you know, female candidates of color that you could choose from right now. So, like, I just think just even in response, because I think, you know, everybody can sense the sort of deflation we all feel from having such a diverse primary field and then winding up with these two older white men. It would be so tone deaf to not do that, or
it's almost impossible to imagine that that's not going to happen. And also, you know, given the ages of the prospective candidates, and it looks like Joe Biden is going to run away with the nomination, but given that age, it is also something to highly consider that the next president, if it's a Democrat, will be a one-term president.
Right, exactly. So, you know, as I said, I would expect and hope that would be the case. And you know what? That still is a milestone of its own. I mean, the fact that we've also never had a female VP, you know, any milestone that allows us to see more women elevated in those positions is really important.
Yeah, and I think this election is unusual because of those age factors and the fact that the Democrats understand that they better do something different. They better, when it comes to choosing a VP candidate, they better choose somebody who can continue to lead long beyond the Biden or the Sanders administration.
Well, and it's also, I always like to emphasize, because as much as this is about equality, and parity, it's also about we need to have, you know, female voices, female perspectives, you know, that are part of this conversation as we're looking at the many issues that we're facing and coming up with solutions. You know, they're just, you know, it's no longer acceptable to have only, you know, men talking about whether it's, you know, on female health issues or things that have to do with childcare or sexual assault. Like, we need to have women as part of those conversations. So, you know, I always like to emphasize it's not about, you know, this kind of like, it's not a women's issue. This is about diversity and about having like a government that looks like its citizens.
Yeah, it's a human issue, not a women's issue. You're absolutely right. What do you do as a follow-up to what will it take to make a woman president, Marianne?
I'm considering so many different things. I mean, I have a whole, you know, what will it take platform that, you know, if you go to whatwillittake.com, it's a whole, you know, digital platform with a lot more content and conversation and resources. And I'm going to be doing events on this topic. You know, I'm looking into everything from more media to a possible documentary. I mean, there is a lot to talk about because I don't want to lose the sort of learnings from during this time.
Yeah.
And I also think we have to remember right now, it's especially important to remember it's beyond just having a female president because there's a lot of, you know, down ballot races. We were really, it was very exciting to have so many women and people of a diversity who, you know, were elected as part of the midterm elections. But we need to also focus on making sure that we preserve. There's some women that are facing some really tough races to vote and to support female candidates and candidates we believe in. So I think I will be using my platform and my voice to make sure that we remember and that women really were part of, you know, what I think will be the stewardship of the future. I think women are coming into their voices, into a sense of their, you know, their political, their social power. And so I will be doing what I can to, you know, be a resource for them.
And of course, all of this conversation shored up by the fact that it is the 100th anniversary of suffrage in this country, women getting the right to vote. So hopefully that will help the efforts like yours moving forward. Marianne, thanks for being with us this morning. Appreciate it.
No, thank you so much for having me.
Marianne Schnall is her name. What Will It Take to Make a Woman President? The name of her book, a very foresightful publication in the year 2013, just a few years before Hillary Clinton ran for president, and now in 2020. Question is, Tulsi Gabbard still in the race for the White House, apparently in Hawaii. Why? We were not absolutely sure. We're trying to get her on the program, too, to talk about the why of that. But maybe she just wants to stay and she has no further political aspirations, is about to run out of a job.